good afternoon, and welcome to Jaguars.com Live in the pregame, brought to you by Everbank. I'm Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Lagerman. We'll be joined a little later by John Osher, but it's reunion weekend, so all of your old teammates are back. That smile has a very good reason behind it, doesn't it?
It was great last night. There's about 55, 56 guys that have come in town for the reunion game. Last night we had a dinner in the Upper West Club. It was fantastic to see some guys that we haven't seen in a long time. Yeah. James Stewart, who was the second first-round draft pick the Jaguars had the first year of existence, who has been in town forever since he retired. First time he's ever been at an event. It was great to see him. Rich Griffith, the tight end.
Great
Mickey
guy.
Washington, who was a cornerback the first year. And, of course, some of the Jaguar greats, Buscelli, Brunell, Taylor.
Is that how you introduce him on the radio? Some of the Jaguar greats you call
no,
him?
No, I don't ever say that about him. It makes his head get too big.
And what makes this even more special is we're just about 3 days away from the anniversary of the Jaguars' dramatic win over the Falcons when Morton Anderson missed the 31-yard field goal. How awesome are we? First of all, the day is amazing. But to have reunion weekend with the Falcons, a meaningful game in December, boy, it shapes up to be a great day.
With the weather, that's just absolutely postcard perfect. It doesn't get any better than this. And I remember that 96 game. I remember the Morton Anderson miss. I was not on the field goal block unit on that game.
Right.
And I went to the special teams coordinator. I told him, I said, you better find somebody to take out, because I'm going on the field to try to block this field goal. And if you don't take somebody out, we're going to get a penalty for 12 men on the field. And I found my way on the field. I didn't end up getting the block. But it was a tremendous moment in Jaguars history. So kind of fitting that it is the Falcons here on reunion weekend.
Jeff, it feels as if this team has broken through, at least on the offensive side, the last 2 weeks. And it's not just the 90 points. There's a confidence on this unit that when they need to do something, they can do it. Is that real, or is it still a ways away?
No, I mean, it's real. It's as real as it gets. And Blake Bortles has that innate ability to where if things aren't going well, he can rise above it and make plays himself. That's the tremendous thing. And the number of weapons that this offense is developing just seems to be endless. I mean, whether it's Julius, Tommy, perfect example. Allen Robinson last week has one catch for 4 yards. It is a touchdown. But they score a team record 51 points when their main guy only has one catch for 4 yards. And so Julius Thomas, Allen Hurns, Brian Walters, even if he's going to be active in today's ballgame, Denard Robinson stepping in for an injured T.J. Yeldon last week. It's a tremendous feeling. I think if you're an offensive player, well, you know that you have so many different weapons and guys that can step up in case of injury.
So where's the key matchup today? When you look at the Falcons, William Moore, one of their strong guys against the run, the safety, is out for the season. Paul Warlow, their middle linebacker, one of their defensive captains, leading tackler, not going to play today. Jaguars run the ball.
Well, you like to think that they would like to have balance, and Warlow doesn't really bother me that much or say, okay, they can do things against him because he's not playing. I didn't think very much of Paul Warlow to begin with, the middle linebacker for the Atlanta Falcons. To me, it's all about points in this ballgame. The Atlanta Falcons offense, they're going to score points. That's a simple. I think I'm going to say it's a fact, but I believe that that's going to happen because the Jaguars defensively have not matched up against teams that have had good quarterbacks with dominant wide receivers, and that's what you've got in Julio Jones and Matt Ryan. And they have a very good running back in Devontae Freeman. So you're going to have to keep pace because I think the Falcons are going to score some points in this game.
That's kind of a warm-up for next week when you know you got to score a lot of points to play Drew Brees and the Saints.
Whole another level of quarterback next week with Drew Brees.
So Matt Ryan's numbers are not that impressive this year. Julio Jones was on fire most of the season. What isn't working for them? What can the Jaguars get done defensively against Matt Ryan?
You got to take the ball away. That's the one area that offensively the Falcons have put up big numbers. And that's not a number that you want to put up big numbers. They've 26 giveaways as an offense. And if you point to one reason why the Atlanta Falcons have not been able to reach their potential offensively or as a team, you point to that number directly. 26 giveaways is unacceptable.
A couple of guys for the Jaguars. Paul Posluszny comes back. That would seem to be helpful with Devontae Freeman.
I hope so. I hope so, but you got to wonder. Paul had surgery on that hand last week. He's going to be wearing some type of club device over the top of it. And linebackers and defensive linemen have to have their hands to be able to play off of blocks. How effective can Paul Posluszny be? I don't know. But I think he certainly would be better than anybody else as far as backups go. But you still wonder how effective he can be because Devontae Freeman is one of the best running backs. His numbers, he's what, top 10 in the league in rushing?
Yep.
But he's missed two games because of a concussion. He might be in the top five if not for those missed games.
Nick Marshall is going to be active today. Dwayne Grotz is down. Demetrius McCray is up. What about all the movements in the secondary?
Well, I think they wanted Demetrius McCray up for one reason, and that's the length of Julio Jones. Dwayne Grotz is not as tall as Demetrius McCray. The thing that I worry about last week, Nick Marshall was inserted as a starter in that nickel package, and we saw that last week they let whoever line up in front of Nick Marshall, they let Nick Marshall play against him. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, what is the first thing that you would like to do?
See Julio Jones.
Julio Jones against Nick Marshall. You know they're going to find a way to get that matchup, and you know that Matt Ryan is going to find a way to be able to get it deep. And Julio Jones and Matt Ryan love the double moves. And on a young player that doesn't have a lot of experience playing cornerback, last year he's playing quarterback for the Auburn University, be interesting to watch.
All right. Any thought on the Jaguars' ability to pressure Matt Ryan? Can you do it, or do they get rid of the ball?
I think you can, but I don't think that you can do it at a high level because the Jaguars just aren't built and talented enough up front to get great pressure on Matt Ryan. Now, the Atlanta Falcons' offensive line is not a good one. It's one that they have not been very happy with. They've had some issues up front in protection. The Jaguars, I'm not saying that they can get 5 or 6 sacks of this ball game and get 10 hits on Matt Ryan, but they've got to affect him.
All right. Jeff Loggeman, have a good broadcast.
Thank you, Ryan.
We'll hand the microphone over to John Osher. Hi, John.
Home finale. Yeah. Home regular season finale. Well,
you know, I can remember I was sitting next to you in the press box in Houston last year.
Big moment for you, right?
It was. Because I remember what I said. I said, next year at this time, I sure would like to at least be talking about if this, then that scenarios, yep, as opposed to where the Jaguars are going to be drafted.
Yep.
And so here we are now with a meaningful game that puts the Jaguars in a position, if they win, mm-hmm, to still be doing that going into Christmas.
Well, and not only that, but you can't do this, but take away the 1-5 start, which you can't do.
Right.
But they've got themselves into a meaningful game situation by playing pretty well since London. And they're 1-5 going into that, and now they're 5-8. So do the math, 4-3. And they've had a couple that they gave away during that stretch. But overall, they've played their way into being here. Certainly did last week. And I think that's significant. And I think that's why this game is important. You want to keep doing that. And you want to sort of validate and verify what you've been doing. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't play well. I think they've shown that they can do what they're good at. They can move the ball offensively. They've shown they can get in the red zone. I think people would be surprised if they're ineffective offensively. So I think it goes back to, can they rush the passer? I think that's been the season-long theme on defense. I think that will decide today.
So how do you attack Matt Ryan? I mean, is he a guy, and he's not played as well this year as he has for most of his career.
All right. Can you play 12? Because then I put 12 on Julio Jones. Kidding aside, I think you gear the defense toward Julio Jones, which is an obvious analysis, and then you blitz where you think you can get to Matt Ryan. I said on the radio earlier, I think if the Jaguars get a pick, I think they win the game.
Okay.
I think, you know, and that might be because they're protecting a lead, but something, I think if they get a turnover, if they can break serve, so to speak, then I think they have a chance to win. If they get a couple, if they can force Matt Ryan to be what he's been a lot this season, which is making some mistakes, then I think you've got a chance to have a game that you're comfortable with in the fourth quarter. All that said, I'm expecting this game to be decided in the last 3 minutes.
Julio Jones has more than 100 catches, more than 1,400 yards. But by comparison, he only has 6 touchdowns.
Right.
In the games in which he scored, the Falcons are 3-1.
Right.
And obviously, in the games in which he hasn't, they haven't fared as well.
Right.
So the key today would be to keep him out of the end zone. You know he's going to get yards.
Right.
Keep him out of the end zone.
Keep him out of the end zone. That kind of goes back to what was troubling the Jaguars earlier. You know the Falcons are going to move the ball between the 20s. So when they get between the 20, when they get inside the red zone, that's when you blitz. That's when you try to put pressure on Ryan. Now, if he scores, don't give up. you know, it's okay to go back and break that trend.
Right.
But you definitely want to pressure Matt Ryan. I have a feeling that Devon House is going to be on Julio Jones a lot, but he's going to be shadowed. He's going to have help. So that becomes the key matchup. I don't think you stop him, but you want to, we've all seen Julio Jones on primetime when you watch him have one of those games where you think, my goodness, this guy might be the best receiver in the last 5 years. He's that kind of ability. He's that kind of athleticism.
Size, speed.
Yeah, so there are games where you watch him where you think those thoughts about him. If this is what I'm seeing greatness. You want to keep him from having that kind of a game. If he has, you know, 11 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown, fine. But you don't want to have him have one of those squiggly numbers under touchdowns.
Is Blake Bortles ready to make it three straight games without an interception?
You know,
is he past that?
Well,
on a,
I don't think you can say that because
happen?
In the first half last week, he could have easily had a couple of picks. So, again, I don't think he's going to be Joe efficiency. He's not going to be 75% and have very many games where you look back and go, you know what, the defense didn't have a chance to get their hands on the ball. But if he has a pick today, you don't want it. But the good news about Blake, and I get why we're talking interceptions, but the good news about Blake is it's no longer surprising when he has two or three bad series in a row that might include an interception and then bounces back and plays well after. That's what he's going to have to do with his career, is respond well to adversity and not only not panic, but produce after that. He's getting to the point where he's doing that. I wrote in my 10 things they need to win, he just needs to be Blake. I think it's time to stop thinking, okay, he can't throw a pick and he can't do this and he can't do this. He's getting better playing the way he is. So go out and be Blake Bortles, which is starting to turn into enough.
And we'll leave it on that. John Osher, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow him all day long on Twitter. He'll have First Off the Field. Take
one final thought. Rashad Greene, gotten to the point where he's something this team can rely on. If he gets a big punt return, boy, what a big deal that is now for this team. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was talking about how good you are and how people should watch you.
Say hello to Max.
Max will be on the sidelines carrying the boom mic today so that tomorrow sounds of the game and mic'd up are mint. You'll love all of that. So for Max and for Pat Cavanaugh and Dave DeCandis, for Shadrick, who's not here, but it's Christmas week.
Yeah, tell him about it.
Thanks so much for joining us on Jaguars.com. The best coverage is right here all day into the night and tomorrow. Merry Christmas, everybody.